Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. Welcome to Forward Thinking.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome to Forward Thinking, the podcast that looks at the future and says, I am the modern man. I'm Jonathan Strickland.
I'm Lauren Vogelbaum.
And I'm Joe McCormick.
What's the problem, Joe? You look troubled.
Yeah. Well, I just found on Amazon, I can buy 452 grams of liquid mercury from some seller called Gallium Source LLC. It's 99.9995% pure, and it's $98, so that's a really good deal.
That's a pretty good deal on liquid mercury.
Yeah, I need to get this ASAP. Like, I don't want to wait for shipping, and I don't want to pay the shipping costs. I want it here in about 30 minutes.
I hesitate to ask why you want the mercury. In fact, I'm not even going to.
I think
to.
Due to plausible deniability, I'm not going to ask.
Right.
But
It's liquid mercury. It's useful for all kinds of things. All kinds of poisonous things.
Okay, well then, I'm glad that I'm leaving the office within half an hour, but I will tell you how you can get this done. All right. How you can get from Amazon.
Okay. Do they
450 have 50 grams of mercury in half an hour?
Do they have like, now, can you pay extra to have somebody bring it to you on a sport motorcycle, like zooming, weaving through traffic?
Not quite that.
No, not here in Atlanta.
Okay. No.
Do they put it in a catapult and get it to your within 35 meters of your house?
Considering that we're right across the street from the Terminus complex, you probably wouldn't even get to clear that building.
Oh,
so
man.
That'd be
that's a problem. Though I don't know which direction actually the nearest Amazon fulfillment center is. I assume they have the mercury there already.
Well, you know.
Also, catapulting not recommended for liquid mercury.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. We're blue sky.
I couldn't lose a single gram of it. Well, I need all 452.
If you're really if you really need it in half an hour, I'm sorry to say that right now we don't have a solution for you, but Amazon is working on it.
Blast.
Yeah, they've got this thing that they've proposed.
Wait, whoa. They're working on it?
They're working on it.
30 minutes?
Yeah, 30
not,
minutes.
Not just Mercury, though. I don't want to give you the the implication that they're only working on 30-minute
Mercury delivery.
Yeah, it's not
mostly, I would say, books and DVDs, things that weigh less than 5 pounds.
Right, but 450 grams of mercury, that's like a pound, so that's fine.
Whoa. Let's back up. What is going on here?
Okay, so
30-minute delivery?
Do you know what a drone is,
Drone?
Yeah, I'm not talking about our fellow coworkers.
It is what cicadas do.
Yeah, that's also true. It's also what, you know, bagpipers do.
Yeah.
Often when they're talking about their bagpipes.
And it's a military weapon that flies around and doesn't have any people in it.
Yeah, but,
well,
you know,
it's not just a military weapon. That is an example of a drone.
Yeah, so it turns out that what we're talking about here are a specific subset of unmanned aerial vehicles. They're usually either semi-autonomous. They can be completely piloted by humans. They could be semi-autonomous or they could be fully autonomous. It all depends on the model. But we're generally talking about these smaller devices that are unmanned aerial vehicles that can do various things. And what Amazon is proposing is building a fleet of these unmanned aerial vehicles that can carry payloads of 5 pounds or lighter and deliver them to locations within 10 miles of a fulfillment center within half an hour of you ordering that item. Which sounds pretty phenomenal, right?
Yeah.
Well, before we get into Amazon's approach, let's talk about the idea of using drones for delivery in the first place. Amazon's not the first company to propose doing this.
Oh, certainly not. It is currently happening. Well, is it currently happening or is it kind of shoddily
it's
happening?
It's kind of shoddily happening.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, China has been
publicity
looking into
publicity stunts
it.
Are happening.
There are two countries, actually, where it's happening on a small basis, small being that neither place is using them on a rollout as wide as Amazon would. And China is one of those nations. Australia is another. And you can see some publicity stunts in other places around the world.
Yeah, out in China, they don't have that many regulations about this kind of thing. A business can just talk to its local government about whether or not it's chill to fly, you know, cake or
right.
whatever they want
right.
Out to the, you know, cities around them.
Australia is the same way. I mean, here in the United States, we've got the FAA, and they have, we'll get into some complications with the FAA in a bit, but in short, you can't just launch, literally or figuratively, a drone delivery business in the U.S. without some approval process.
Yeah.
I knew the government would be gumming up the works on me getting my mercury as fast as possible.
Yeah. As of
yet. Perish the thought.
There have been a couple of publicity stunts with, like, there was a dry cleaner in Philadelphia.
Yeah, actually, that dry cleaner, it's kind of funny. They were showing off this very tiny drone. I don't know if you actually saw the video.
But
the drone is like super small. It's really just, it wasn't even really a drone in the sense of anything that was semi-autonomous or anything.
It was remote controlled.
Remote controlled. It required two people to operate and it required a spotter and a pilot. So when you get into the point that not only did it require a spotter and a pilot, but it also could only carry 1 pound worth of stuff, which is essentially a shirt, then you couldn't really use it to deliver dry cleaning on a meaningful basis in the service area of that dry cleaners.
On the plus side, anything that's wet when it leaves is dry by the time it arrives.
It's dry cleaning. Why would it be wet?
Oh, that's a good point.
Joe, it's got the word dry in the name of the service.
Perhaps more importantly, there is a tacocopter in San Francisco.
Well, there's a potential
there's
tacocopter.
There's a potential tacocopter.
I
there's
am
also
waiting.
A potential burrito bomber.
I really want these to exist. I mean, I really seriously want these to exist, but right now they're having some issues. But before we get into all that, the cleaners, it's interesting. It's a Manayunk cleaner, which is in Philadelphia. Like I said, it was a tiny little quad rotor, drone that, not even a drone, but a little, it's almost like a remote controlled helicopter at that stage where it required two people to operate. So obviously from an economical standpoint, from a practicality standpoint, there is no reason to do this because the amount of manpower required to deliver one shirt is more than what it would take if you just hired a driver to do it. So,
or hired a walker really. At
yeah.
That point.
Even a walker. Yeah. Yeah. So it's one of those things that clearly this was something that could get a lot of buzz in more ways than one, because that drone was loud. But it would get a lot of attention and therefore drum up some customer service type stuff for this particular dry cleaner, right? They want to get some business out of this. So it was more of a marketing stunt, I would say, than any kind of meaningful delivery service. I would argue the same thing is true for something else. This, by the way, that story broke in June of 2013, I believe. Another story that broke that same month, June 2013, was that the Domino's company in the United Kingdom used a drone to deliver pizzas in essentially a concept video. So
I think the weirdest, most unfortunately comic death ever would be killed by falling pizza.
I'm not going to say that would have to be a lot of pizza, because I guess if it were...
No, imagine you've got extra cheese, lots of toppings, you know.
Super hot.
This is like a, yeah.
Or maybe you have a very virulent gluten allergy, and I'm not sure.
You can't absorb gluten through the skin, however. You would have to have your mouth open while you're staring at the sky and have swallowed all that pizza.
Which you must admit would be really unfortunate.
That would be a terrible way to die, I do admit. If you were smothered by pizza, that would not be pleasant. But we're getting a little far from the point here. What I was going to say is that, again, this was more or less a marketing stunt. There was no specific plan to put this in place. The same sort of thing that in order to do this, they would have to obey a lot of different rules that are still kind of being formed as we speak.
But as far as marketing stunts go, nice work.
I mean, it caught a lot of people's attention. Immediately, people were asking the United States divisions of Domino's Pizza, like, do you plan on doing that here? And they said, no. That was their answer.
No, that's crazy talk.
It was very upfront.
The thing about that is it's silly now, but, you know, in a few years, I could see that happening.
Well, the issue I have right now is that both of the ones we just talked about, the cleaners and the one with the pizza, required there to be a human pilot and essentially maintain line of sight with drones. Yeah, at that point, if you have to have line of sight with the drone to be able to control it and you're piloting it, it's essentially an RC helicopter or airplane, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. It's not truly a drone. Now, what Amazon is proposing is something that is much different. It would not be a remote controlled vehicle that a pilot and a spotter would have to follow.
Right. It would use cameras and GPS.
Yeah. It would, and you might have a single person, a supervisor, overseeing maybe 30 or 40 of these things all together. And so you would have multiple supervisors at each fulfillment center, because I don't know if you know this, but Amazon fills a lot of orders.
Yeah.
So, and, according to Jeff Bezos, who's the CEO of Amazon, around 80 to 90% of those orders are 5 pounds or lighter. So that means most of the stuff people get on Amazon could, in theory, be delivered by these drones that are supposed to have a payload capacity of about 5 pounds. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that's 5 pounds or less could be delivered, because some of it's going to be bulky. For instance, not that long ago, I bought paper towels on Amazon because I was running low, and it meant that I didn't have to go out in Atlanta and buy them. And the less interaction I have with other human beings, the better.
Right.
No. So anyway, I ordered them on Amazon to have them delivered. Well, the package weighed less than 5 pounds, but it also was much more bulky than what a book or DVD would be. I would imagine that your average drone would have difficulty flying around with that. For one thing, the air resistance would be much higher. So if there were any kind of wind resistance at all, like if the winds were blowing at any kind of gusty level, I bet that drone would have a real hard time getting those paper towels to me in half an hour. Hopefully I will never have an experience where I'm like, I need 16 rolls of paper towels within 30 minutes or I am going to freak out.
Yeah.
That would be a bad day. I've had those days in the past, though, but luckily I've had the paper towels on hand.
No, I'd imagine that there will be, in addition to weight limitations, there'd be dimension limitations.
Yes, I'm sure there will be. And also, I mean, there's also the limitation of distance. They are supposed to have a 10-mile radius of delivery distance from a fulfillment center, of which there are currently 96.
Wow.
So if you don't live within 10 miles of one of those 96 fulfillment centers, you won't be getting any deliveries from drones in the first place, because you'll live too far. Let's talk for a second, though. Why would we even go with using drones in the first place? I mean, convenience obviously is one. If you wanted to get a specific thing within half an hour.
And you're like, I cannot possibly wait until tomorrow for overnight shipping.
Right.
So
or maybe you're like, none of the stores that are near me actually carry this in their stock, but it's on Amazon. If they have it at the fulfillment center, then I can get it in half an hour. Obviously, that's convenient. But what about other reasons?
Well, you know, I don't have an answer on price, but I do have a question.
Sure.
You know, and it's, would this in the long run be cheaper? It seems like initially it'd be more expensive because you'd be adding new technology to
infrastructure.
You know. I'm imagining that the price point on that would be actually a lot more than overnight shipping.
Right.
Costs. At least initially.
At least initially. Now, in the long term, I can see how it might actually be cheaper. Mm-hmm. It requires less human labor, less fuel. You know, you just charge like an electric motor, however these are powered, I assume electrically.
Yes. Well, not only that, but or I assume electric too, I should say, because the details are pretty scarce.
I would think that a tiny diesel engine on that kind of thing would really not be what you're looking to.
I imagine so. Some RC type aircraft do run on fuel and not just electricity. So that's why I'm like, well, you know, I'm probably electric motors, but I don't know for sure. I would guess electric, mostly because they've talked about the problems with battery life, but we'll get into that too in a minute. But another thing that I was going to say is that when you're talking about shipping, Amazon isn't the one who ships everything from door to door. It's not an Amazon driver who drives up and delivers your Amazon product. They're contracting with other companies in order to get stuff sent, or they're, you know, paying a per package fee to have stuff sent, especially if you are like an Amazon Prime member and you have shipping covered, like 2-day shipping covered in your agreement. So I'd
imagine someone like Amazon is uniquely positioned to negotiate shipping prices with the major carriers.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. You think about the costs of maintaining a shipping fleet, or just even maintaining the infrastructure to get stuff to the trucks, and you have to pay people to do all that kind of stuff. Well, if you're able to streamline that, then that would cut down potentially on costs.
Okay, well, if these drones were able to be, say, electrically powered, I would think that might have some kind of carbon emissions impact, right?
Yeah, in the announcement that Jeff Bezos made, he was talking about it being a lot greener than current shipping options are. And shipping options, if I may be depressing statistics girl, kind of scary right now. Okay, so according to carbonfund.org, which takes a whole bunch of data from a whole bunch of different places, it's a pretty legit estimate, I think. They look at air cargo, truck cargo, train cargo, and sea freight. Mm-hmm. And according to them, sea freight, which is at the low end of the scale, creates some like 0.048 kilograms of carbon dioxide emissions per ton of cargo shipped a mile.
Okay.
Train freight, about half that amount. But truck creates about 6 times more, and air cargo, 32 times as much as sea freight. Some 1.5 kilos per ton mile, which means that if you're shipping something from, let's say, Atlanta to Los Angeles, that's about 2,000 miles, you can create as much as 3 metric tons of emissions for a single ton of cargo during that trip.
Wow.
Whoa.
Which, you know, for reference, the world average as of 2010, per person per year was about 5 metric tons.
Wow.
So that's a lot.
So yeah, if you could come up with a way of at least taking that last mile out of it, which, you know, it sounds like it's a small amount, but every little bit can make a difference. Now, again, since we're talking about electric motors, we have to say this every time. It all depends on where you get your electricity from.
Oh, right. It's not free. We're not getting it from the air.
Yeah, but it's not like...
Generally, electricity is going to be less of a problem than, say, burning gasoline.
Right. Assuming you're not getting all your electricity from some coal plant that had to step up production by 150% because of your army of drones. Obviously, once we finally build those Tesla towers, we'll all have free energy because he was infallible. There might have been some snark there. So, but assuming that you're getting your electricity from a place that is doing its best to have at least some green practices in place, I would imagine that the carbon footprint issue would mean that, yeah, using drones makes sense. You're going to produce less or fewer greenhouse gas emissions, and it'll be a smaller carbon footprint. Now, there are some other challenges besides the idea of, well, does this make financial sense? For example, right now, From what I understand, there aren't really batteries out there that have the kind of life that would be required for a drone to be able to carry a 5-pound payload in addition to the weight of the drone itself, 10 miles, drop it off, and fly back 10 miles. Most of the drones that are in the general class that Bezos is talking about, he's talking about an octo-rotor drone, which means it has 8 rotors. You know, a lot of the ones we see have are quad rotors, but this one would have twice as many, so it's twice as good. Most of the ones I've read about, the distance that most of these can travel is about a mile before they start to have their battery drain pretty heavily, and they can fly for about 15 minutes. Now, they say that they would get your delivery to you within half an hour. Keep in mind that that's everything from processing the delivery, pulling it from the warehouse, putting it on a conveyor belt where it would travel down the conveyor belt to the drone that's going to deliver it to you.
Yeah, I want to put in for the record that I cannot get wings from the place 2 miles away from my house in less than half an hour. So,
well, they can't fly. So they've already removed the wings, so there's no flying anymore. Now, in this case, the drone would be flying over to you.
That was terrible, Jonathan.
Yes, I do. Hey, I just spent an entire week with my family, and if you think I'm bad, you should listen to my dad talk. So I'm full up on terrible puns and jokes. But anyway, and I love my dad. And anyway, it seems really optimistic right now to say that a drone would be capable of doing what Bezos is saying they will do. To be able to carry a 5-pound payload at a maximum of 10 miles and return on one single charge of battery. Now, it may be that they will have multiple batteries and will actually do live battery switching in a single flight, which would help. But you've got to think, how would you be able to build these drones so that they could make these trips, return, and then recharge fast enough so that they would be ready for another trip before much longer? Because if you've got an army of, I don't know, 200 drones, let's say, for one particular fulfillment center, and it's a really heavy day, because on Cyber Monday, Amazon was getting 300 order requests per minute. Now, that was the company, you know, nationwide, but even so, that means those fulfillment centers are really, really busy. So assuming that this was in place in 4 or 5 years when Amazon says that this is a possibility, how would they be able to not only make sure that these drones could get to where they were going, but recharge fast enough to meet the demand that continuously comes in? And I don't have a question, an answer for that question. I mean, you can have rapid recharge batteries and they do recharge pretty quickly, but you know, that's a pretty hefty demand on power to be able to carry 5 pounds through the air, preferably at an altitude where people aren't going to be messing with it. Because that's another concern, is that what happens when you get people looking in the air and seeing a copter,
UFO, essentially.
Yeah. Or they're just thinking, I bet that thing is carrying something nice. I would like something nice. I'm going to knock that thing out of the air and get something nice. So instead of fell off a back of a truck, it's going to be this fell off a drone.
Uh-huh. Never paint them to look like question blocks in Mario. It's a bad scene.
Well, this is one of those things that have been talked about as a genuine concern, is interfering or people hacking the system so that they could have things delivered to their house instead of to where they're supposed to go.
Or even when someone gets a delivery and goes like, oh, look, I got a free drone with this. I'm going to play with it now.
Yeah. So there are a lot of, concerns here. And so part of it is,
oh, let me free.
There's a Pixar movie just begging to be made. So these are legitimate concerns. And so one of the answers or potential answers may be that they will fly at altitudes where it won't be obvious that there's a drone flying by, but that means they're flying pretty high, which requires even more energy to get to that altitude and maintain it, especially if it happens to be a windy type of area and be able to get to where they're going and drop them off. Another challenge, how do they know what's on the ground so that when they deliver it, they're delivering it safely without damaging a person or their property? Because most of these are going to have ways of seeing their surroundings in the air, but not necessarily what's on the ground.
I'd see that, though, as more of a scaling and implementation problem, because as we've seen with like Google's autonomous cars,
right,
it's doable. I mean, sure, you can use like LiDAR or something like that to pretty accurately map your surroundings in a way that you really understand what's nearby.
And that kind of sensory technology is probably also another 5 to 10 years off,
well,
I would say.
Yeah, because there are systems that exist. The problem is getting them to the point where they will fit on a drone and not mm-hmm. cause even more of a problem with weight
right.
for the drone to be able to do what it's supposed to do. So
yeah,
maybe in 4 or 5 years it'll be
prohibitively
small
expensive.
Exactly, that's another issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Although, you know, if people are willing to pay, what's it, like $25 to have something overnight shipped to you, then
so yeah, I mean,
what,
there's three times that
what is the price of shipping?
Yeah, this project doesn't have a price on it yet, but they call it Amazon Prime Air, so you would assume that this is another either subscription based service or possibly it's a per order surcharge if you decide to have that added on.
So you get streaming video, 2-day delivery, and drones.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there are other challenges to overcome. So we've talked, there's technical challenges and we've talked a little bit about that. There's some practical challenges, like how do you get the drones to travel through?
Isn't it illegal to just
That's the third one I was going to get to.
Yeah. The governmental issues here in the United States in particular, it's a tricky situation because it's so new, just like a lot of new technologies. It's so new that it outstrips what our laws cover.
Right. It's basically only hobbyists who are doing it on a private level right now. I mean,
which is fine.
Oh, sure.
The government's like, you want to fly your little helicopter as long as you do it at 400 feet or lower.
Out at the ranch. Basically.
Yeah, and it's basically mostly legal for some 300 or so public agencies that can use them. I mean, in addition to the military, at low altitudes and away from airports.
So things like fire departments, police departments, schools. There's some that have
research facilities. Yeah.
What does a fire department use a drone for?
For search and rescue.
Yeah.
Really?
But yeah. Also, it gets a really, like, there are times where a drone needs to get, they need to get a look at where the hotspot is in a building, and they may not be able to reach it directly from the ground. It helps out a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not just like it flies around looking for fires.
Is there a fire there? It's usually used after a fire has been identified as being in progress.
Yes. But as of 2012, the government had allotted the FAA $63.4 billion to modernize the U.S. traffic control system.
Billion,
lots of dollars. It's called the Next Gen program, and it's being used to kind of update like airport controls and include more GPS based stuff into all airplanes and into air traffic controlling, which seems like, that's I have a GPS in my phone, so why doesn't the entire air traffic control system use them? And that's because it's a big system and very expensive. So.
Right, and it's made up of lots of different pieces, right?
Yeah.
It's not like everybody uses the exact same equipment across all different types of aircraft.
Exactly. It's so difficult to coordinate that they don't even have a full plan as of right now when we are recording this podcast.
Well,
they are supposed to publish one by the end of 2013.
Well, and there's, well, a draft.
A draft,
by the end of 2013. Congress has given the FAA a mandate to come up with rules for UAVs for both private and commercial use by the end of 2015. So that's why Bezos is saying 4 to 5 years, because we don't even know yet if it's ever going to be legal for companies to use drones in a professional sense, besides some case-by-case basis. Technically, there are just two types of UAVs that the FAA has licensed for commercial use. So kind of like, drones for hire in the United States. And so those two are the In-Situ Scan Eagle from Boeing and the Puma from AeroVironment Incorporated, both of which come at the measly price of $100,000 per unit.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey.
So they are obviously much more expensive than the kind of drones you can get, like the Parrot drone, where you can control that with your smartphone.
Sure.
That's a consumer device that anyone could go out and buy and operate and play with. These drones are obviously meant for much more heavier use, but even these are not being used widely. I mean, they're really expensive. A lot of the uses I've seen for potential uses I've seen for drones are in agricultural, applications, things like spreading fertilizer, that kind of stuff. And there are farmers who are using drones to do that. Technically, most of them are doing it illegally because they haven't received licensing from the FAA to do it. But it's also one of those things that doesn't tend to get enforced.
Sure.
Now, that being said, if there were ever a catastrophic accident with a drone, you can bet that that would put a lot more attention on it. And we've had some near misses, haven't we?
Didn't a drone crash in New York and almost hit somebody earlier this year?
It collided with a building, I think, and then kind of fell and almost hit a pedestrian.
It was like 10 feet away from somebody. And that's kind of scary.
Yeah, I remember having a similar experience once where a sheet of ice fell off a building in Chicago, and I felt that really Chicago should outlaw ice.
I think that most of Chicago agrees with you.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, of course, here's the thing I'd say, because I actually trust autonomous drivers better than human drivers. I'd only really be worried about the safety issues of drone crashes early in the implementation before people have worked the kinks out. Once we've got good autonomous drivers for drones, I'd probably trust them more than I would, you know, ones that are piloted by people.
And see, the thing here is that the FAA may feel exactly the same way, and maybe part of what they're going to look at is ways of having various drone producers demonstrate the safety of their products by maybe navigating through an obstacle course or going through some other form of testing. Maybe there'll even be a third-party testing entity that will put these things through the paces to make sure that they can go into full widespread commercial use. Or maybe the FAA says, you know what, this is just too big of a headache and the convenience is not going to be outweighed by the potential disaster. I mean, I think of things like even a really good autonomous vehicle. I wonder, can it navigate through things like a neighborhood where there might be a lot of power lines? That kind of makes me a little nervous. There are certain things that could interfere there. I mean, even electromagnetic interference could be an issue.
Sure.
I just Googled delivery truck crash, and I got 4 hours ago from CBS Local Miami, delivery truck crashes into Miami home. Obviously...
It is currently a problem.
There is still a safety. Yeah.
Sure. There is. And the problem is you can't do Tuchel reasoning where you say, because this happens, this other thing shouldn't, you know, just because you don't put this restriction on this type, you shouldn't put this restriction on this other type.
No. I'm not saying that, drones shouldn't have extensive, safety vetting. I'm just saying, like, one couldn't expect them to be 100%.
Because the stuff we have now is
nothing is 100% accident proof.
Right. Yeah. Entropy. And also, you know, I think that as the infrastructure of this Internet of Things kind of improves so that we get more of a, smart roads and smart, more, you know, better power that doesn't involve so many power lines, for example.
Things that allow us to have an infrastructure where everything talks with one another as opposed to potentially interfering with one another. Mm-hmm. Then you have the potential to do some amazing stuff, not just get your mercury in half an hour so that you can go on your mad poisoning way, but all sorts of different things.
Okay, folks at home, I don't actually want to poison anybody. Mercury is a very, very cool element. Very, very, very cool.
Yeah.
But quite
really
dangerous.
Useful.
I'd say, actually, I can imagine a much more practical use of when I might want to have something delivered within 30 minutes. I've had this experience before. Maybe you start cooking dinner and you're making something really involved and then you realize you don't have an ingredient.
Yeah. I go through the entire range of infomercial over emotional responses when that happens to me.
Your frustration and then anger and then sadness.
Breaking down into tears and then just the wah, wah shrug. Yeah.
No, but it's really frustrating.
It is.
So you get home from the grocery store, you start chopping all your vegetables, you realize like, I forgot to get chili powder.
Yeah.
And I don't have any. But if you could get some to your house delivered in less than 30 minutes while you're still doing all the other stuff you need to do, well, okay. I mean, that's a big frustration saver.
I'm just going to turn that around on here, Joe. I'm just imagining a drone raining down chili powder across an unsuspecting city with children just crying, coated in chili powder.
Okay,
why do you hate the children, Joe?
I would rather have chili powder dropped on me than have a pizza dropped on me.
Well, that's because you constantly are staring into the air with your mouth open. You're going to get smothered by that pizza, Joe. Whereas you might just sneeze from the chili powder.
Okay.
Maybe with less potentially smothering concepts. And this is where my anxiety lies. I'm like, what if you're getting dressed to go out somewhere and you realize, oh, I just put a run in my tights. I'm sure that you guys have this happen all the time.
You know, you'd be surprised, Lauren. I am in theater.
You are. It's
so
true.
It has actually happened to me.
Well, yeah, you could be getting ready to go to work in the morning and you just realize, like, I don't own any underwear.
Yeah.
How so have you, I managed to get to this point in my life?
Or, like, or okay, I just burned an iron hole in my one good shirt and I have a job interview. And,
I have done that. I've stained my clothes right before I needed to go out.
I can imagine getting to work and saying, well, it would be great if I could have something delivered here because on my way to work, I'm a pedestrian, right?
Yeah.
So I have a nice long walk in the mornings. There has been a time where I've walked to the train station and it's on a rainy day and I get one of those, like I'm almost at the train station and that's when the driver drives through the big puddle and I get splashed. I'm like,
covered in mud.
I wish I had another shirt at work because I am a mile away from my home and I could walk back. Come back out. But one, I would possibly have the same thing happen to me twice. And two, I would be late to work. So if I had some way of doing this where I could have it delivered discreetly to the office building so I could at least change here and not look like I don't know which clothes are clean and which clothes are dirty in my house, that'd be great.
I guess the question is, could you find a shirt cheap enough to justify that transaction?
You know what? There are times where you just look at yourself and you're willing to pay any price. But let me tell you how this is exactly the first thing I thought of when I heard about this particular service. And it's the kind of thing where, we sometimes think about what would you need to, what would you want so badly that you'd have to have it in half an hour? Well, if I were, let's say it may not be the case in 4 to 5 years, but let's say in 4 to 5 years, I'm playing on, I finally decide to buy an Xbox One or PlayStation 4, because I haven't bought one yet. And the reason I haven't bought one is because there aren't any games out for either system that really appeal to me.
I'm sure that in 4 to 5 years, you will have purchased one of them at least.
Probably, but let's just assume for some reason that I have held off that long. I actually held off about that long for the Xbox 360.
Wow.
So it's, and I held out even longer for the PlayStation 3. So it's possible that maybe I have one of them, but I don't have the other. But finally, enough games have come out where I'm like, I've got to have this console now. And I go out and I buy the console, and then I buy a couple of games and I come back. And then I read about this one game that came out 3 years ago that I don't have, that I would love to have. And, you know, maybe I don't have the download speed to download it within half an hour, but if I order it off Amazon, I can have a drone drop it off in half an hour, and I've got it right then and there. Now, any upcoming game, I could order ahead of time and have it delivered the day that it comes out. But if I order, you know, something that's been out for a while and it gets there in half an hour, then I'm able to satisfy my impulse buying needs.
Mm-hmm. Also, we're all thinking about this from a very privileged place. There are lots of people who are not able to go out and run the kind of errands that we are on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And think about, you know, if they have an emergency and need to have something kind of immediately. I mean, there are delivery services around most major metropolitan areas these days that can get you a lot of different things, but yeah, you know, but those Amazon fulfillment centers certainly have more than your corner drugstore.
Well, yeah, especially if it's going to be cheaper than, say, a delivery service. If you have mobility problems, that could be a huge help to you.
Oh, yeah. No, there are some applications for folks that would be way more meaningful than the relatively
than the
silly
powder,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's again, it comes down for most of us. It comes down as something that just, it's added convenience. Also, there is something of a cool factor to think of. My stuff was delivered to me by a robot. I mean, that's kind of nifty.
Anything is cooler with a robot.
Yeah, pretty much. Robot apocalypse, not cool at all without robots.
You could get a robot delivered by a robot.
Yeah, could. You could get a robot delivered. Like if you had your Roomba delivered. I don't know how heavy Roombas are, though.
I imagine it's going to be a little
bit too heavy. That might be too heavy,
We might have to wait for the next generation of drones before that happens. And it's interesting because the FAA is going to have to look at larger drones in the future. Right now, the 2015 legislation, or not even legislation, but rules that they are supposed to publish, those will only cover these light UAVs. So these smaller UAVs will be covered by that. But anything larger that would be capable of carrying something, you know, heavier than 5 or 10 pounds, we're going to have to wait a while before the government catches up to telling us, you know, how those can and can't be used. They may end up being too large to be practical for any sort of consumer use, but maybe it's something that is used for something like a fire department or police department, you know, in a more versatile case than just spotting hotspots or looking for survivors of a disaster or something along those lines. So, yeah, I'm curious to see if Amazon can do this. I will say one thing. By going on 60 Minutes and talking about this, Jeff Bezos got a lot of attention toward Amazon just before Cyber Monday.
Yeah, that was one of the more clever things that I mean, he's done a lot of clever things, but that was impressive.
By talking about this, you know, he also got people just interested in Amazon Prime, which is a service that a lot of people subscribe to. And, you know, maybe getting even
more
people.
People always can.
Yep. You know, always want to grow that business. So it was a very savvy move on that part. Even if we never see a drone fly, it was a savvy move by Bezos to do that. So, it's possible that this won't turn out, the way Bezos hopes. Maybe because of there's a fundamental problem with batteries. Maybe because the government never allows it, but we'll have to wait and see.
And either way, I'm really glad that he did. I mean, even if it was a pure publicity stunt that nothing comes out of, I really want the general public to have more of a concept that drones are not just this scary military application, that there's a lot of really awesome stuff that can be done with them.
Oh, yeah. And I'd say even if it was more a publicity stunt than an announcement of like a real project that he plans to implement, I mean, there's no essential technological barrier to this.
Right.
And it's
Absolutely.
In the public consciousness. It just seems like a thing that is more or less inevitable. The question is when.
And, yeah, to what extent.
Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, it may turn out that there's a very limited implementation of this kind of technology. Or maybe it'll mean that within 20 years, our skies are going to look kind of like Coruscant in one of those prequels I don't like to talk about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this kind of wraps up our discussion about Amazon's approach and just the idea of using drones to deliver stuff in the first place. If you guys found this conversation interesting, you should definitely go to fwthinking.com. That's our website where we've got blog posts and videos and other episodes of the podcast that you can check out. Lots of interesting stuff there. And of course, if you want to talk about drones, or maybe you are a drone, you should get in touch with us. We're on various social media outlets like Facebook, Google+, and Twitter. Our handle there is FWThinking. And we will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this topic and the future of technology, visit forwardthinking.com. Brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air.
For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.